Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Okay. That was a Gregorian chant of Hallelujah. Welcome to Day of Christ Meditation with Beth Harris Ministries and Dr. David Jackson.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you, my beautiful, wonderful producer. Is Dr. Jackson on?
I don't think so.
Okay, I wonder what's going on with him. I did hear a text, but I thought it was perhaps from you. Let me see if he texts me. He texted me earlier to ask for the number. Is it possible that you are able to text him? Do you have his number?
No.
Okay, let's see if this is him. All right, well, maybe he will get on. You know my phone. Or the personality.
We have another caller on with us. Thank you, caller, for joining us tonight. This is Day of Christ Meditation with Best Ministries. And we'll have another host joining us shortly, Dr. David Jackson. So, Today is a good day to meditate and pray with all that's going on in our country and our world.
Yes, indeed. And why don't I have you open in prayer for us, my dear sister, if you wouldn't mind?
The word Christ, Day of Christ. The word Christ is a Greek word that means anointed. It's comes from the Latin. Christ is a Latin word. Jesu Christo is the way that name was given in the Bible originally, 1611. And we now know that the word Christ means anointed from the Hebrew Messiah or Mashiach. And so it's always a conscious choice to seek the anointing of our Creator, the Creator of the heavens and earth. And so we lift up our hands to the Creator Yahuwah this evening and thank Him for the anointing that He places upon His servants. We have a mind to do the work of our Heavenly Father, Creator, on this earth, and we give thanks and praise for the mind that He's given us to serve on this planet Earth, this living, breathing entity called Mother Earth. And so we give thanks this evening that we are still breathing on Mother Earth, just like Mother Earth. And we pray for all those on the front line in North Dakota and on the front line in other states, because there's a battle all over this country, if not the earth. And so we ask for protection for all those on the front line of the battle. And while we here in our places, whether in Florida or Arizona or New York, we ask that you continue, great King of the universe, to lead us, guide us into the new paradigm of energy, the new paradigm of thought and lifestyles. We are thankful, so very thankful, for having a roof over our head, for having food, and for all the little things that we take for granted. And we ask for forgiveness. Ask for forgiveness for not being more compassionate, more loving, especially to ourselves. For to this beautiful kingdom within, we need to be more loving and treat this place as a sacred temple that it is. So we give praise and thanks for the sacred temple that we live in, that provides the mobility that we need, that gives us the mind of a Messiah anointing to do the work we've been assigned and called to do on this earth. And may we do it with joy. May we do it with joy, never losing sight that when our assignment ends, we do indeed have full joy. And so we work toward the goal of having just plain joy, until our fullness of joy meets us on the day our assignment ends. So hallelujah, as the song, the Gregorian chant over and over was hallelujah, hallelujah. We praise Yahuwah the Most High, of Creator of heaven and earth, and we move forward in this program, in this day, to give honor and glory to our Creator and to always acknowledge nature as our best teachers. And so, hallelujah, we give praise. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much. It was beautiful. Do you hear me well?
Yes, you're coming in loud and clear.
Okay, great. Well, I want to start off by reading a portion of a report that came out in June this year, concerning the physiological benefits of meditation. It was an 8-week study conducted by Harvard researchers at Massachusetts General Hospital that determined meditation literally rebuilds the brain gray matter in only a few short weeks. It's the very first study to document that meditation produces changes over time in the brain's gray matter. For the study, participants engaged in meditation practices every day for approximately 30 minutes. These practices included focusing on audio recordings for guided meditation, non-judgmental awareness of sensations, feelings, and state of mind. The relaxation response has been subject to several studies that clearly show that its regular practice induced by meditation directly affects physiologic factors such as oxygen consumption, heart rate, blood pressure, stress, and anxiety. I'm probably kind of sharing with the choir, right? Like, we already know this. So there are a lot of benefits to meditation. And I love the scripture verse in Psalm where David said he meditated on the word day and night. And so it's a wonderful practice. And we know that scripture says David was a man of heart. Oh, wonderful. I believe Dr. Jackson is on.
I am. Good evening to everybody.
There you are.
Yes, good had some evening. Technical difficulties, but I am here.
Wonderful. See, Amma opened with a beautiful prayer, and I was just sharing about the research that was done by Harvard on meditation, the benefits of meditation, just doing it half an hour a day. I also wanted to just share with you, as some of you noticed in seeing what our topic would be tonight, that today is the National Native American Day of Mourning. And tomorrow, Saturday, the 26th, is Pray with Standing Rock at 3 p.m. Central Time, 2 p.m. Mountain Time, 9 p.m. GMT, and I believe 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, through December 10th at 4 p.m. for Mother Earth, clean water, and the water protectors at Standing Rock. Now, Standing Rock is a prayer camp. So this was approved by the Tribal Council at Standing Rock. And December 10th is United Nations Human Rights Day. So they're inviting everyone to join with Chief Phil Lane and many other traditional leaders for a global, I believe it's called WAPITA, which is a Dakota word for giving of gifts and thank you. Someone might want to help me out with the correction if I mispronounce that. So, Viata, were you aware of tomorrow being Pray with Standing Rock?
Yes, I announced it on the show on Wednesday, I believe. Yes, thank you.
Oh, okay. And I just want to share a few examples that people have already posted as far as how they are supporting this effort. As you said, Viata, and posting to raise awareness. Others have signed petitions. I know I have. So many have signed petitions against the pipeline. Called the governor of North Dakota, also the White House, and signed petitions with the international. It's just several things posted of what people have done, or what they are committed to doing, pray and envision the most positive outcome for Standing Rock and Mother Earth. Just reading a few of these that they have committed to do. Becoming conscientiously aware of choices, daily choices, in order to protect all life. Another, praying and coordinating rituals to support Standing Rock in here in Europe, it says. So this is going on all over the world. This one is saying remedial ritual, which I haven't looked up. Maybe you can help me with that, Beata. Another made a water offering at the Thanksgiving table. I guess that's the libation they were saying, water offering. Another, contributing to Standing Rock compost toilet fund. Several said that they are going to Standing Rock. Others are educating people about the unconstitutional violent military actions against U.S. citizens there. Some others are planning community fundraising events. Another will drive less to use less fossil fuel. And some closed a bank account that have supported big oil or are supporting them, and also companies that do, you know, just boycotting. Someone is contributing to biogas, a Standing Rock. Another is meditating for completion of the handover to Mobridge and decommissioning the Fort Yates water intake. And another is dedicating their yoga practice to Standing Rock, doing the synchronized meditation. So this is very encouraging, a lot of positive vibes all over the world. So make a lot of changes when we all come together. There's a prayer Christ prayed in John 17, make them one. In Genesis it says, behold, the people are one, nothing shall be impossible to them. Anything you wanted to add, Dr. Jackson? Before we move along?
Sure, no, I was just listening to you referencing some scriptures about unity, but there's a lot of scriptures also that talks about the power that comes from meditation, because meditation is a unity between us and God. And when we bring ourselves into a unity with God through His Word, we will experience success. And I think that's what we're seeing around the world, people recognizing that because we are in the image of God, we reflect God. When we bring ourselves together on one purpose, then we get to experience the power that unity brings. It's the same in meditation. We begin to bring ourselves in centered focusness on the Word, repeatedly focusing and speaking and believing and rehearsing and reliving the Word of God for us. Then we begin to experience the results that come from it. So I think it's really great. I think, you know, when we recognize that success and blessings come from meditating, and I'm really getting more people to really dig into it. I was having a conversation with one of my mentees today who shadowed me at work, and we were talking about meditation, actually, as I was thinking about today's show. And I was saying, wow, a lot of folks do not meditate. Like, they don't take time to center themselves with God around the Word and around their breaths and around just really tuning everything out and really focusing in on the divine source that's within. And I wonder how many people's lives would really change for the better if they devoted a significant amount of time to this practice. What do you think?
Yeah, and what you were saying, it reminded me, I think there's a verse about confirming the Word. And I was thinking about affirming, because we say these affirmations, as you were saying, centered around the Word. You know, does it really take heart? And there's another verse that says, these people worship me with their lips, not with their heart. And, you know, people have some particular concept of worship. Worship is really just doing the will of the Father. And, you know, that say, they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. And yet this word that became flesh said, I work. My Father work. I must work the work of him who sent me. So it's very important to realize that is what worship is, not just going, gathering somewhere and think that is so pleasing and, oh, we did our part. No, it's actually, you know, in living this out, right? In him we live and move, right? So, and if we are not doing that, then that's not in spirit and in truth. So we mentioned about a ceremonial blessing and creativity of cleansing the environment and the body. So that's why I was sharing some of these activities that some people are committed to for the particular situation that's going on at Standing Rock. But how we can apply some of this in just things that we have to take a stand concerning is a lot of things that we should do in raising awareness. Like, what is worship? The next blog that I will host is DEW. It's an acronym, DEW, for Distinctly Eloquent Worship. And that's why we're going to move more into that for the next one, which will be December the 8th. That's the second Thursday of December at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So spread the word. Hopefully you'll come back and join in on that. But I wanted to, just in mentioning a blessing, and I wanted to, if you don't mind, Dr. Jackson, just giving me your input on these. Treat the earth and all that dwell thereon as you want to be treated. Of course, that's very similar to love thy neighbor as thyself is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And he's given us that authority of tending the earth. Okay, go ahead.
I also hear reaping and sowing there. There's also a strong reaping and sowing. Subscribe to that statement too, which is true. Think about what reaping and sowing is. It is an agricultural concept. If you sow seed into the ground, depending on what kind of ground it is, then you will reap a harvest back. So if you sow your love and your respect and your intentions into the earth, to Mother Earth, the Mother Earth will be good to you. And we see that through us being able to partake of the fruits that come from Mother Earth. But we also see the negative sides of that. By not taking care of Mother Earth, we see that through tons of climate challenges, such as the hole in the ozone layer that's affecting some of our erratic weather patterns and some of the other natural disasters we're experiencing in the Earth. So I think, yes, it's definitely respecting of the Earth. And I said that a few weeks ago in the Bible study, how, you know, you cannot be a kingdom-minded person and don't care about the Earth. Because the earth belongs to God. And if we belong to God as kingdom people, then we have to love and respect and take care of the earth. But I don't think we talk enough about ways to care for Mother Earth in small ways, along with the big ways, of course, recycling and, you know, green energy and composting and things like that to care for Mother Earth. But simple as turning off your water when you're brushing your teeth. If you're not using the water, turn it off. That might seem small and insignificant, but those are little ways in which we can definitely care for Mother Earth, and then we will reap the benefits of having a healthier, more happy Mother Earth. How about that?
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, drawing in our youth and everything that we're doing, because, of course, they learn by example, work together for the benefit of all mankind, and teaching them that concept. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And wouldn't that I would think, eliminate the problems that we're seeing so much as far as the greed, selfishness, you know, me and mine, instead of, you know, seeing us as this global family, as a community. Anything you want to add to that?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. My phone went in and out. Can you say that one more time for me? It sounds beautiful, though.
Well, I was saying to work together for the benefit of all mankind, and just in moving along with that, you know, being authentic. People show their true colors when you're faithful to yourself. What do you think about that? I saw that somewhere. People show their true color when you're faithful to yourself.
I agree. Does the love also thou shalt be true, as Shakespeare would say. I do agree with that. You have to be true to yourself in order to really be authentic in the world. Because if you're not being true to yourself, who are you being? You're being an imitation of someone else. You are presenting an image that you think people want to see, but it's not you. And honestly, I think a lot of people are not being themselves in the world. And that's why we have some of the problems we're having in our society, because people are not being themselves. People are not, you know, tapping into the genuine goodness that's within. They are allowing pain and hurt and dysfunction and trauma and disappointments from life to cause them to hide the real them. I think a lot of people are hiding the real them. And when we really begin to show the real us and let that brilliance and that light pierce through the past experiences we've had, then I think we'll have a happier, more productive world. But also, I think we're socialized to hide. I think we're socialized to hide. I don't think we are. Some of us in our upbringing, we're not encouraged to be ourselves, because sometimes being you is not within the lines that society sets in some ways. Being you requires you to come outside of the lines, to use that kind of analogy, that motif. Being you sometimes requires you to go outside of the boundaries that's been set. So how do we then encourage people to have the boldness and the courage to color outside the lines if they have to be themselves versus conforming? Because there are consequences to not conforming to certain lines, depending on where you grew up and your family or your environment. But at the end of the day, if you're not being yourself, then you are in some ways locking the key to your own internal prison. And there's consequences to that too.
It kind of reminds me of when Christ mentioned about the Pharisees. You know, they were saying how they, you know, seems like this holy demeanor outwardly, but inwardly it's like dead men's bones. And that's what we're talking about, really not being authentic. So, you know, that's part of caring for plant animal kingdom. They know it, right? They can sense it. You know,
yes, they can.
So, you know, we have to move in truth. And truth is freeing. And the Lord says he brought truth, you know, and the truth will free us. So then you wonder, well, how come you don't feel that freedom? Even Paul said, you know, he was definitely aware of that liberty. You know, walk in the liberty. There's that passage of scripture that says, walk in the liberty, right, that Christ came to give us. So,
yeah,
right. We have to always be aware, you know, are we kind of, you know, extending when he said, go that extra mile? Are we overextending ourselves so we don't close off? As another verse that says, you see a need, you don't just bless, hey, I bless. But you address that need. Give assistance and kindness wherever it is needed. And sometimes that, you know, takes kind of going that extra mile. I was in a really bizarre, weird situation over this holiday. It's kind of really weird. I felt like I was somehow trapped. And so I had to think of how to overextend and show kindness in spite of it just seemed like some challenges that were depressing. But how to overextend, and there's that saying, you kill them with kindness. With loving kindness have I drawn them. Even you, being evil, know how to give good things. That verse that says, you know, even you know how to give good things. So just give of ourselves in spite of. You think if we can ever get to that place, humanity, to get to that place, do you think that would be like, wow, chasing away all the darkness, you know, like all of a sudden you're moving into that perfect day, you know, that perfect day as described in Isaiah. Anything you want to add to that?
I think it would be. I think people are not being themselves. People are not. And I thought you said when you first started that people are not being authentic when they are being.
Fading out. So sorry. I can barely hear you. You're fading out.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
I hear you very well.
Okay. I apologize. I'm having some technical difficulties tonight. But what I was saying is when you first started out, it's in some ways you juxtapose being authentic and the reverse of that being not just, you know, inauthentic, but being deceptive. There's a deceptiveness there when you're not yourself. You're not presenting the truth. And if you're not presenting the truth of yourself, then you are leading people to believe you're something that you're not, which can hurt you. And I think that's where a lot of the evil in the world is coming from, is people not being themselves and in reverse being deceptive. So people begin to believe you're something that you're not. But if we could encourage people, give people the tools, suggest meditation, to really find self and display self, I think we would see a shift in the world. We'd see a shift in how people treat one another, because a lot of the evil in the world really manifests itself in interpersonal dynamics, how people interact with one another. And, you know, people are okay with themselves and okay with what they have, okay with their lot in life, okay with what has transpired to get them to where they are in life. And then in the same breath, be able to respect other people's journeys, if they agree with it or not, if they understand it or not, but respect other people's journeys and other people's realities and other people's expression of self. Maybe we want to have as many crimes and as many hate-filled actions that we have in the world.
Well, we are going to start tonight with a meditation, and we're going to move into so many different types of meditation as we continue with this particular meditation time. We will, you know, experience like drumming meditation, totem meditation. We want to move into just getting to understand our brothers and sisters all around the globe. And so people meditate in so many different ways, you know, feel like, how do we understand one another when we don't make an effort to understand our cultures and, you know, why we believe what we do and you know, have certain particular practices. I think it's very important to know we have so many more similarities than differences. So, as a matter of fact, I was watching this ceremonial, the Native American ceremony of something that was on YouTube, and the way these women were dancing, you surely would have thought all you had to do was change the attire to, say, the Pentecostal mothers attire, because they were definitely doing the same type of dancing. It was quite interesting.
Wow. Is that
awesome? I know. Yeah, very interesting. So, you know,
but
we
you
will
know
be.
That, like I say, before you move into the patient piece, you can do that with a lot of other cultural expressions. I know when I was in seminary, I took a class on Afro-Latino religions, and we looked at a lot of, like, Santeria, Candomblé, Valdum, a lot of those religious. You could take a lot of those same ceremonies, mute the music, and change the outfits, and you thought you were in a Pentecostal service.
That was an argument I used to have.
I actually grew up Pentecostal, so I can definitely relate. And that's an argument I would have a lot of times with my, you know, professors, Black study professors, religion professors, that, you know, Pentecostalism is really a gateway into Christianity that connects us to other religious expressions and spiritual modalities is Pentecostalism.
Yeah.
And that's why perhaps it is the fastest growing Christian expression in the world, the charismatic Pentecostal movement. But anyway, I just wanted to throw that in there. A shameless plug for Pentecostals.
It's true. I remember when I first saw it too, you know, the African dancing rituals that they were doing, and I thought, wow, that is definitely Pentecostal. But when I mentioned it to somebody, of course, I had the devil to even compare that. So
right, of course.
Right? But
I also like that comparison, but I mean, it's true. And then, you know, really the genesis of Pentecost in America went to the same kind of demonizing too, so it's not unusual that that would happen. So
with the 500-600 Native tribal nations way of life severely curtailed by the coming of the European settlers, many tribes' spiritual practices and rites were lost forever. And, of course, we know as a people, we lost our language. We lost, our identity, having very little knowledge of our connection with the motherland. So, it's pretty tragic that we don't have more compassion toward one another, right? We've been traumatized enough. So we need to really seek ways to be kinder. And so I try to do that when people are acting out and just really seemingly so unloving. I just try to overextend, you know, so that love reigns regardless of people's actions. And that's what we have to do. And we are the most spiritual. I've heard people say that of other races. We are the most spiritual, but we don't move in that spirituality. We move in some religious mode, but we don't really get into the deeper things of spirit.
You are hitting something that I've been saying for years. It's quite controversial, actually, but it's true. We do not tap into the deepness of our spirituality, because I think a lot of people are afraid that to be spiritual in that way would take you outside of the coloring line, so to speak, of Christianity. And I think that's the challenge right there. You know, I was saying earlier about the whole coloring line, you know, sometimes people are not themselves because it's not in line with certain norms that's been set for them. And so if it's outside those lines and you can get punished and do get punished from going outside these lines that the larger society has set for you, then you don't express your full self.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's exactly what's happening in Christianity. That you have a lot of people of color who are connected to a deeper spirituality, a modality of spirituality, that they do not connect into because they don't know how to deal with its expression in ways that might not be what we call Christian.
Mm-hmm.
But then the question becomes, are you being true to yourself? Makes you go,
Yes, exactly. So we have been lost for quite a while. But as we tap into resources all around, you know, all of creation, like the word says, the earth is the Lord's. So, you know, take the nature walk, experience that interconnectedness of life, you know, with plants and the animal kingdom. See the beauty in the majestic sky, the breeze, colors, and in all the nature spirits. So I want us to just move into a meditation because I see the hour is drawing nigh and I want to open it up for comments. So that's going to lead in with this prayer. And I want everyone to get very comfortable and take some deep breaths. That's another thing, too. Just being mindful of the breath. Very important. When you think of music, you have to breathe correctly. I felt like bursting out in song, but I don't think I better do it. But let's just take a couple of deep breaths. Breathe. Inhale through the nose. And exhale out of the mouth. Again. Hold that. And exhale. I remind you of the ocean breeze. Breathe in through the nose. And exhale. Oh, great spirit, whose voice I hear in the wind, whose breath gives life to the world. Hear me. I come to you for strength and wisdom. Make me wise so that I may know the things that you have taught your children, or shield against the wiles of our enemy, and to stand unspotted from the world. I want you to envision yourself walking across the great plains of North America. You come to a mountain that you must climb. You know spirit will watch over you and guide your journey. You begin your ascent to the top. This journey represents your life path in the evolution of your consciousness. Let's just pause. Any thoughts, Dr. Jackson? Any thoughts, Beata? I'm not sure if I had my phone on mute. Did everyone hear the entire meditation, or was there a cutoff? Beata?
It cut off. It cut off. I thought I was being quiet.
Really? I cut off by mistake. Oh, okay. So you didn't hear, but what? Did you
anything.
Hear me?
I thought we were just all in silence. I was like, oh, okay, this is a different kind. Well, you did say it was a different kind of meditation. So I was like, oh, it's a silent meditation. Okay.
That's good, too. That's what Jeff said. I just looked and I'm like, did I keep the whole time on the mute? And I thought I was talking that everyone could hear me. I am so sorry. I am so sorry. So where were we? Did you get to the top of the mountain and you didn't even hear that?
No mountain.
No mountain. Did you cross the Great Plains? No?
Negative.
No Great Plains.
No Great Plains. Oh, my goodness. Well, maybe it was just for spirit to have us quiet. Have a quiet time of meditation. I do that regularly.
It was quite nice, actually.
I do that quite regularly. Oh, my goodness.
Do you want to go ahead and repeat it, whatever you were saying?
Okay. All right. I will. And so you didn't hear anything. I'm so surprised. All right. Did we take deep breaths? Did you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And then that was all you heard? Wow.
That's correct.
Do we want to take deep breaths or are we good? Do we want to start again with the deep breaths? How are we feeling in our bodies?
Well, I think we've been deep breathing through the silence, so just go ahead and give your meditation words.
Okay, wonderful. All right, everyone, we're comfortable. Envision yourself walking across the Great Plains of North America. And I mentioned that we've been talking about the pipeline. So we can begin there. You come to a mountain where you have to climb. You feel led to climb this mountain. And you know, Spirit will watch over you and guide your journey. You begin your ascent to the top. And you see this activity so far away, but you send your peace and love in all directions. The journey represents your path in the evolution of your consciousness. You travel around the spiraling mountain. With each step, you send out the success, the victory of the climb. Each step is moving you closer to spirit response. The word says, draw nigh to me, and I will draw nigh to you. What have you perceived about this journey? Do you move with ease to the top? Eventually you reach the top where you pause and look around. A medicine wheel appears and draws closer. You feel its energy drawing you to the center. And what you feel is the warmth, the comfort. There's this comforting warmth from the sun. Or are you under a bed of stars? Are you led by the brightness of light? It's the coolness, as in the cool of the day. What fragrances permeate where you are now? What do you hear and see? What is the message that you are receiving? May it be beautiful before you. May it be beautiful behind you. May it be beautiful all around you. Be strong. That is all. In beauty, it is finished. So what was the lesson? What was the message? Or did you hear the entire meditation? Did you hear the questions that I asked? Beata?
Dr. Jackson dropped out for some reason. I was kind of half asleep in that meditation. All the breathing was very relaxing. So, just envisioning walking through the plains, I couldn't help but think about Montana, where I visited. This summer, they have such a unique terrain of land and roaming hills, and I kind of went back to Montana as you were reading, so it was just reminding me of how each of us have a different journey. Our terrain is different, and we have to, as you said, see beauty in the past and the present and the future. See beauty, I'm paraphrasing, but I heard something about seeing beauty in what is behind us, which would be the past, and what is before us, so that we keep the hope that we need in this day and don't get discouraged. And to me, breathing, deep breathing is worship. That is the worship, because the Creator gave us this breath. Without this breath, we don't have life on this earth. And so when we consciously take in more oxygen, more oxygen, more oxygen, to me that's saying I worship the Creator of heaven and earth who gives this oxygen. So deep breathing is worship. So just the fact that we even had a period of silence was worship time. Sometimes we don't need to say anything, but then the words that we do speak, they should help us find that beauty in the past, and beauty and hope and joy and gratitude in the present and the future.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Beautiful. And did you hear the prayer? Did you hear the... Or no? Because I looked at my phone, it was on mute again. Did you hear?
I'm not sure about the... I'm not sure about the prayer, but I just was listening to some of the words, and then I was, as I said, I was envisioning being back in Montana and that beautiful terrain, and I just thought about how we all have different terrain to travel on this earth. Some of us are going up mountains, and some of us are on flat land. Some of us are swimming in water. Some of us are drowning practically in water, but either way, there's beauty in the experience.
Yes, there is. Yes.
This is focused.
Yeah, it's so important. Just be still, as a verse says. Be still and know. You know, and then you will feel that. You know, there's a promise. Draw nigh to me and I draw nigh to you. It's in that stillness that you know. Sometimes we don't have to say a word, as you said. And so there's peace, there's power. And our body says a lot. So just imagine when we're still in that presence, just being still. Another verse that says, all creation and all the heavens were still for half an hour. So let all the earth, the verse says, be silent before him. There's power in that. And sometimes we seem to, run away from the silence. You notice how some people seem like they just have to have noise no matter what? That would be like a lot of noise.
It's very difficult because we've been programmed to have noise and stimulation all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Being in silence and meditating and having yoga, and that's an Eastern philosophy more, I think, than Western. Western is like, got to entertain me, not TV, radio, music all the time. We don't practice meditation enough.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you, my host. I guess I don't know what happened with him. Were there any one with lines open that wanted to?
No lines up right now.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you. Thank you for just being all that you are, and that is so loving. I appreciate you. So hopefully we will continue. And I think I mentioned, if I didn't, our monthly vigil we have tonight is called A Time to Mourn. It's night vigil, which is just going through the night, you know, and just holding what we covered, these concerns, just holding it in a loving space. So think on these things, as Philippians 4:8 says, whatever thoughts are lovely, of a good report. And remember that we want to raise awareness about slavery. So we hold these vigils every month in a way of just, you know, awakening everyone around to address this issue, because nothing happens if we don't do anything. What's that saying about when good men don't do anything? What's that quote, Viata? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's like, if you don't do anything, then evil rises or something like that. And then, you know, evil prevails or something like that.
Right.
Yeah, and it's too bad, though. We have such a corrupt government. I'm on YouTube all the time, and I see so much going on at the highest level of our government that's what kind of we're under that influence. So we have to work to do meditation and prayer to stay balanced and overcome the influence that our government has put over us. So it's really important that we do more meditation these days and stay focused on our role as servants on this earth to the Most High.
Yes, indeed. So this night vigil is 9 hours from 10 p.m. to 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, absolute. Just also remember, as I say, at time, this is a time to mourn, is the name of this one, but also this is a day of mourning for the Native Americans. So we're just going to hold all of our concerns in the light. And thank you again. I appreciate everyone, and hopefully you'll just pass the word. We will be back on for due distinctly eloquent worship on December 8th at 8:30 p.m. So thank you for everything you do in spreading hope and peace. Shalom.
Thank us. Shalom.